So last year, I shared a message with you that I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking to our church. And I want to just state it this morning, and some of you might remember it. Kingwood Church is only as strong as our relationships. We will only go as far as our relationships can carry us. Now, I believe that that message is the same message that the Holy Spirit is still speaking to our church. I believe he's saying the same thing. So we're actually going to teach the Living Stones series again that we taught last August, okay? Now, why would we do that? Because I believe the Holy Spirit is saying the same thing. Now, that's an unusual thing to do, so I want to give you a few reasons why we're actually going to teach. It won't be exactly the same. There'll be some new content in it, but I want to give you some reasons, because some of you will be like, great, I'll see you in September. You know, I was here last year. I want to ask you not to do that, and let me give you four reasons why we're going to teach this series again. Number one, we are living in a historic relationship desert. The Surgeon General of the United States of America stated last year that loneliness is an epidemic at the same level as drug abuse and obesity. And he says it's as dangerous as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That's how dangerous loneliness is to your health. Recent research tells us that Gen Z is the loneliest generation in America. All the way back at the beginning of time, when God created the first human, Adam, and put him in the garden, he said, it's not good for him to be alone. And that truth has not changed in thousands and thousands and thousands of years, because we all need friends, we need counselors, we need mentors, we need listeners, we need intercessors, and we need mothers and fathers in the faith if we're ever going to be everything God wants us to be. So the second reason we're going to do this series again is because there's so many new people here that weren't here last year. Maybe you say, you know, I was here, and, you know, maybe you even remember some of the series, but there's at least 100 people or more who weren't here last year at all. And so we want to bring them into this truth. And then maybe you say, well, you know, I was here, and maybe you're better than most and you actually remember some of it. Well, here's number three for you. Deep truth is absorbed over time. Deep truth is absorbed over time. You need multiple exposures to deep truth before you can assimilate it into your life. Hearing and doing are not the same thing. Just because you heard something once doesn't mean you've done it. So when I had a spinal surgery last year, and I went to the physical therapy, they would lay me down on the table and measure my legs and all that and say, hey, like your hips are out of alignment. And so they would, you know, do all this stuff and like, all right, now you're lined up. And I would go off and come back the next week. They'd say, hey, your hips are out of alignment. They'd put them back in alignment again. Okay. And then like, this went on for weeks. They're like, what are you doing? I said, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I walk funny. I don't know what it is. But I keep throwing my hips out of alignment. And so they line them up again. They line them up again. Well, I'm still in physical therapy, but when I go now, they're checking about once a month. They say, hey, what are you doing? Your hips are Your hips are lined up. That'd be a different situation. Your hips are lined up. And we're not having to adjust them anymore. You know why? Because it takes multiple adjustments to get your body in alignment and keep it there. It takes multiple exposures to deep truth before that truth becomes part of us. Now, why is this a deep truth? I want to show you. In Scripture, Jesus gave us the two greatest commands that humanity will ever receive. Love God and love people, right? We know that. And so right in the middle of this truth, where these two truths intersect, is the Living Stones teaching. right in the middle of our vertical relationship with God and our horizontal relationship with people, sits living stones. It sits right at that intersection. So it's a deep truth that we'll be unpacking for most of our life. You can't build this vertical house if you don't build this horizontal house. Those are inseparable. Number four, we need a fresh vision of what the church really is. Cultural and consumer Christianity and living in an increasingly secular society has made it difficult to know what a church is or what it's supposed to be. In this room this morning, there are hundreds of opinions about what our church should be doing and should be focusing on and should be talking about. And it's hard to stay focused even as an individual. It's hard for me to stay focused as an individual sometimes, and you probably feel that way too, because every morning when you wake up, there are people screaming at you that you need to abandon whatever you're doing and get over here and fight this thing and get on social media and comment and get in the fight and go make your voice heard and do this and fight this, and they'll scream at you to go to bed. And the next day they'll scream at you again, but it'll be something totally different. This is urgent. This is urgent. This is urgent. You have to respond. You have to react. You have to release a statement. You have to talk about it. You have to think about it. We live in an absolute hurricane of information and screaming and urgency. And so this dominates our life. And so it's so hard. Oftentimes we focus on the wrong things, or we focus on bad things, or we focus on good things, or we even focus sometimes on great things, but it's a challenge to focus on God's things. And that's what he calls us, his people, to do. So let me tell you what an emergency in the kingdom of God is. It's when someone comes to church and feels alone. That's a crisis. It's not a crisis when the Olympic Committee decides to make fun of the Last Supper. That's not a crisis to God. God's not in heaven wringing his hands going, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? So what we have to do is get in alignment with God. We have to be urgent about what he's urgent about. We have to focus on what he's focusing on. So a crisis is when a disconnected son or daughter of God comes to church and nobody cares. That's a crisis. It's when a person in our community drowning in loneliness is sitting at home alone and they say, nobody cares about me. That's a crisis. You know why? Because God so loved the world that he moved toward us in action. What does God want us to focus on? I think he wants to focus on being a living stone and building a temple for his presence. That'll make a bigger difference than any social media arguments or statements any of us are going to make anywhere. Why don't we stop making statements on social media and start making statements with our life? That would make a difference. So let me reiterate the statement again. We're only as strong as our relationships, and we'll only go as far as our relationships can carry us. So we need to build spiritual relationships in order to be the dwelling place of God. The better connected we are, the greater God's presence is going to fill this temple. We can't build this vertical house if we don't build this horizontal house. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20 says it like this. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, something amazing takes place in your life. Deep change occurs. You pass from death to life. You pass from darkness to light. You pass from being unforgiven to being forgiven. And you are no longer a citizen of this world. You are now a citizen of heaven. You've had an entire identity change. And not only has your identity changed, your community has changed. Your primary community is now the body of Jesus Christ. Verse 21. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling place of God by his Spirit. So get this picture. We are living stones that the Holy Spirit, as we follow him, stacks together, aligned with the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus, until we become a holy temple and God's presence fills that temple. Now, if you've been taught as a believer that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, you've been taught correctly. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit individually. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit individually. But we're little temples. We're not the whole thing. We'll never inhabit the presence of God as one individual temple the way that the whole body of Christ will. So when we allow the Holy Spirit to knit and to join and to build and to stack these living stones together, knit the body of Christ together into a living temple, the presence of God comes and fills that temple like it never will fill any one of us. So God's will is for us to be full of his presence. And here's what that means. That's the vertical. You remember, you can't separate it from the horizontal. So it means that we can't just pray and we can't just worship and we can't just read the Bible and expect to have the fullness of his presence. Because we'll always be deficient of some part of his presence until we are knitted together horizontally in spiritual relationships that hold the temple of God together so that his presence might fill it. When I left home for college, As a young person, I never lived at home again. I drove to Florida, moved away, and served the Lord in different places, but never lived at home and never really lived close to my family. And so that was hard because every time you get Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever, you're trying to get as many off days as you can so you can go home and kind of reconnect and see everybody. And so that's what we did. But my mom was one of these people that just like had the gift of hospitality. So, when she found out we were coming home, she's losing her mind. She'd be like, hey, I washed the sheets, and I rearranged the furniture. And what kind of cereal do you like? What's y'all's favorite snacks? And then when the kids came, what kind of toys do they like? What do you want us to add on to the house? We need to add a partition. What do you want, a swimming pool? What do you want? Whatever you want, she's going to make it happen because she wants the environment to be as welcoming as possible and attractive as possible because she wants us to come home as much as possible, right? Anybody have somebody like that in your life, They're just wired that way, and it's a beautiful gift. This is what Ephesians is teaching us, that you have to prepare for what you want to attract. So if you want to be the dwelling place of God on earth, you have to prepare for that. You have to be humble enough to allow yourself to be built together into the body of Christ and not just go it alone on yourself. You have to, listen to this, you have to intentionally build spiritual relationships as intentionally as you pray and read the Bible and worship. You have to see it as a spiritual discipline and a necessary part of your life as a believer. Now, we all know this is true in other areas. Like if you have people, I've never been a hunter, never hunted anything. But if you've been a hunter, what you do, you're going to hunt birds. What are you going to do? You're going to set, bird feeder out. You're going to set some fake birds out there in the water so they can kind of look at it and, decide if it's safe to land. Why? Because you're trying to attract. You're trying to set an atmosphere that will attract what you want. We know this with, if you're building a website, what are you doing with a website? You're designing the website with the person in mind that you're trying to reach. What about social media? If you're a social media, everybody's a digital creator now. So if you're a digital creator, what are you doing? You're curating content in a way that you think will be interesting and attractive to the people that you're trying to communicate with. So we know this is a true principle everywhere else, so we prepare for what we want to attract. The question I have for you this morning is, what are you trying to attract? In your life, what are you trying to attract? Are your relationships attracting the presence of God in your life? 1 Peter 2:5 says it like this, and this is where we get the title for our series. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are living stones being built into a spiritual house. So let me give you three takeaways this morning as we launch this series. Here's the first one. You ready? You are not a brick. How many of you went, wow. Guess what? What did you learn at church today? I'm not a brick. Isn't that great news? Why did God call you a living stone instead of a brick? Why are you not a brick? Here's why. Because bricks are man-made, and you're not man-made. God made you. God created you. God fashioned you. Psalm says, in the womb I knew you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are his masterpiece. You are his workmanship. He crafted you and custom built you and made you. That's why. Bricks are mass-produced. They all look alike. They're all the same. They're boring, right? Look, you're not a brick. You're a living stone. You haven't been shaped in the image of the world. You've been shaped in the image of God. And the church of Jesus is not a brick wall. That's not what we are as a church. Bricks are uniform and they're cheap. You're not a brick, and Jesus' church isn't a brick wall. Number two, you are a living stone. So we talked about, you know, in this age of intensity, we forget what the church is, and we forget who we are. You are a living stone. We all come in different sizes and different shapes and different colors and different backgrounds. You know why? Because different pressures have been brought about in each of our lives for different reasons that have shaped us in the way that we are today. And so rocks have been shaped and formed over time. And when you take living stones and you put them together, you take all the colors and the shapes and the sizes, and they're aligned to the chief cornerstone, who's Jesus, you have something magnificent. You have something beautiful. You don't have a brick wall. You have a stone edifice. You have something fantastic. Natural stone building. A living stone. What does that mean? That means you say, okay, God, I'm not a brick. You didn't make me to go on autopilot. You didn't make me to be like everybody else. You made me for a specific purpose and a specific place in your temple and in your kingdom. And I want to follow your Holy Spirit, and I want to find that place. But you know what it takes? It takes humility. Because it takes you coming to him and saying, all right, God, put me where you want me. And that takes a lot of humility. And it doesn't just take a lot of humility up front. It takes even more humility later, because you know what he's going to do? He's going to put you right next to a living stone that has a sharp edge that's going to keep punching you in the head. Right? He's going to keep, hey, scoot over. It's not enough room. Man, that guy. Every time I see that, man, that lady. Do you see the way she looks at me? That's what it's going to be. You're going to be fit into the wall somewhere of the temple, and you're going to be parked up next to a living stone that just rubs you the wrong way. And you know why? Because that's where God put you. You know why he put you there? So that you might continue to humble yourself and surrender yourself to him, so that he can knock the sharp edges off of you. Because while they're punching you with their sharp edge, guess what you're doing to them? You're punching them with your sharp edge. But as we surrender and submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he smooths us out, rounds us out. It makes us useful and dynamic and connected and powerful. And he raises us up and makes us something. Listen, if you build a beautiful stone edifice, the whole world will come and look at it. Because it's one of a kind. It's absolutely beautiful. But what good is a stone by itself? Like, it's a paperweight. It's a decoration in your garden, you know, that you hit your toe on every now and then. But if you lean in and allow the Holy Spirit to shape you and connect you and fit you, man, we become a temple that not only will the world come and see, but God's presence will fill completely and fully. But a stone by itself is just pointless. You know, there's somebody in our church that I think I've watched this work in. I don't know where she went just yet, but Charmaine, who was leading worship this morning, she's right beside, no, she'll pop out in a minute. Charmaine, who was standing right here a few minutes ago leading worship, she's so talented, right? Like, if you're a Kingwood regular, I don't have to tell you she's talented. When I get to heaven, that's how I'm going to sing. I already decided that. Hope that's okay. That's what's going to happen. But she's got more talent, you know, in her little finger than I'll have in 18 lifetimes. I mean, unbelievable. But when she leads worship, it hits a little different for me. It doesn't hit different because she's talented. She is gifted. It hits different because I know her story. About 7 or 8 years ago, we asked Charmaine and her husband, Julio, to share their story. And when you hear her story of how God found her and where he brought her from and what he did in her life, man. And Charmaine hasn't had, you know, every day's not been a good day. She's had some dark times, and she's had some questions, and she's had some doubts, and she's had things that she walked through in her life. But you know what she did? She built relationships in her life. She built spiritual relationships that helped her. And when she leads us in worship, she leads from a place of deep connectedness. And so when she leads worship, it's not about the note. The note's good. It's not about the sound. The sound is beautiful. To me, it's about the soul. It's about what's coming from the inside. There's something that's happened inside of her that's like this. It's like vertical and it's horizontal. She stayed connected here, and so it reconnected her here. Man, I say, isn't that kind of like what God wants for all of us? It'll look different for you. It'll look different for me. If I sang, you wouldn't come back next week. It looks different for everybody. But you know, God knows that. That's why he won't put you in her place or put her in your place. He's got a place for you. He's got a spot for you. He's got relationships for you. But see, God is calling us to surrender to that invitation because Jesus is the master builder and he builds the temple. That's what we have to come to him and say, Lord, build the temple the way you want to build the temple, and let me be a living stone instead of a brick. Help me to do my part in building the temple, and your presence will fill it. Do you know, for all of human history, God has been building a temple to fill with his presence. In the Old Testament, it was a tent, and then it was a physical building for his presence to physically fill. Now in the New Testament, it's not this room, it's not these lights and this sound, it's not all of that, it's the spiritual building. God is building a spiritual building made with spiritual relationships that is a spiritual church that becomes a spiritual temple for his presence to inhabit, to be a witness to the world. This is what the church is. But it's never going to be that if all we do is this. We have to also do this. Let me say it one more time before we leave. We're only as strong as our relationships. We'll only go as far as our relationships will carry us. If we lean in and do our part, the Holy Spirit's given to us to build the temple with relationships, his presence will fill it, and it will change our lives, and it'll touch this community. So what can we do? Does anybody remember last August when we taught this series? I ended every sermon with the same point. Does anybody remember the point? It was start with lunch. Yes, yes. Every time you ever thought, I worked for hours on this sermon and nobody will ever remember it, you remembered it. Yay, you've encouraged a pastor today. I appreciate that. Start with lunch. And let me tell you what happened. Last August, we saw people inviting people out to lunch to build those relationships. Some invited them over to their house for dinner. Some went out for coffee. We saw that happen, man, and we heard story after story after story in August that was so good. What we said is find someone you don't know or you don't know well and go to lunch with them, right? But as the fall took over from the summer and as life carried on, the stories went away. So what I want to do this year is I want to give you a different starting point. Now, is it good to go to lunch? Yes, do it. Is it good to find someone who's disconnected or you're not connected with or you don't know well and go to lunch and have a meal and get to know them? Yes, it's a great place to start. But let me back up a little further and let me give you a different starting point that you and I can actually do every week. Every week, we can do it all year long, and we can do it whether we're talking about this series or not. It's going to be a deep revelation, I promise. It's going to blow your ears off. Are you ready? Number three, start. Will you say that with me? Start with hello. Hello. Start with hello. What if you made it your mission that every time you came to Kingwood, that you found someone that you didn't know, and you said, hello, and introduced yourself and asked them who they were? What if you, when you were checking your kids in for kids' church and you bumped into somebody, you know, instead of standing there like you're all in the elevator, you know what I mean? Doors, please open, please open. Please open. Please open. I think they're sick. Did you hear them cough? This is terrible. We're trapped in here. Please open. What if you just said, hello, I'm Jay. I mean, don't say that if it's not your name. What's your name? Here's a great question. How long have you been at Kingwood? You know, you get crazy answers to that question. Sometimes it's somebody you never met, and they go, 10 years, and you go, how have you been here 10 years? I've never even seen you before. Sometimes it's like, well, this is our first Sunday. Sometimes it's like a month or, you know, a season or a summer or whatever. What if you made it your mission every time you went to a life group and somebody came that you didn't know, that you went over and said, hey, hello, this is who I am. Tell me your name. Tell me something about yourself. I'm glad you're here. What if every time you were serving on a ministry team and somebody added, a new person got added to your team, you said, hello. It's something that we can do year-round. Can you imagine what our church would be like if we did that every time we met? Whether it was in this setting or a smaller setting or at an event or whatever, it doesn't matter. So several years ago, I decided to do a little experiment. I took a Sunday off, and I went to visit two other churches locally here in town. Two churches that I knew about, that I knew were good churches and trying to do good work. And I thought, let me just go and see what they do. See how their ministries are going. It was disappointing to me in this way because I just showed up as a new person. I had my wife with me and two kids, and we walked in that morning. In the first church, one person spoke to us, one person, just one. And he actually found us to apologize to us when the service was over because it was like a building campaign commitment Sunday. And he came to apologize, say, I'm so sorry, you know, would you please come back again. Now, I'm disappointed that nobody else spoke to us, but at least he cared. You know, I'm glad of that. Well, then we went to the second church, and the second church had, you know, like a really well-known pastor who's written some books and, you know, is just a great person and written a lot. I've benefited greatly. And so we went in. I thought, this will be great. Let me see what they're doing. And we walked in, and when we walked in the sanctuary doors, the usher who was by the door we happened to walk in, he was leaning on the wall and had fallen asleep. It was like this. And he had bulletins in his hand. And then I thought, well, this will be fun. Let me see if I can steal a bulletin without waking him up. You know, let me see. Then I'm like, you know, trying to crab crawl my way in. This will be good. And so I reached in, you know, like kind of like you pull the tablecloth off of a table. Cha-cha! You know, I pull one out and I stare at him. He's like, and he doesn't move. That's it. At that church, no one talked to us. Not one person. And so it just caused me to ask myself some questions, not about those individual churches, because I got to be honest, I think that experience is probably more representative than it is exclusive, unique. It caused me to ask some questions about the American church. And here's one of the questions. How can the church become so sleepy and inward focused and uncaring about the outside world? We spend so much time fighting so many battles everywhere else in the world. What about right here? This is the place that God put you as a living stone. He put you right here in this community. He put you in this city. He put you in this church. He put you in this temple. He put you for this time. He put you for this place. So maybe we should stop trying to fight all the battles all over the world and try to win the war in our own community. And so I had to ask myself about the American church. How is it that we've become so passionless about the mission that Jesus suffered and sacrificed his life and died for? How do we become so passionate that we fall asleep at the door when people come in? And that's just, it's not that guy, it's a bunch of people. You know, it's all of us in a way. It's hard to stay focused. Why is it hard to stay focused on what Jesus died for? What can we do? Say hello. Say hello. Say hello. Introduce yourself. Say hello. Start building some relationships. And so, listen, if you're new to Kingwood, let me say this to you. It's not 100% all on us either. It's also on you a little bit. If you're new, it's time to build some relationships. It's not time to just kind of hang around and float around and see what happens. And it's time for you to build some relationships too. If you're new to Kingwood, why don't you start by saying hello? Tell somebody, hey, I hadn't been here long. And you know what? Start building some relationships. And if you've been here for a while, maybe it's time for you to meet someone you don't know. Maybe you say, I have tons of relationships that are really good. That is awesome. That is an awesome testimony to the body of Christ and Christianity in general. But maybe it's time for you to help somebody who doesn't have those relationships find them. You know how many times I've been so shocked, how many times I've been standing somewhere and I'll be talking to somebody and somebody will walk up and I'm like, man, I know these people so well and I love them so much. And I see them make eye contact and I go, wait a minute, have you guys ever met? They go, no. I'm like, how is that possible? So I introduce them. Hey, this is who they are and this is who they are. And you know what? If you have a lot of great relationships, maybe you could do that. Maybe you could introduce them to somebody. Maybe it's time to send a text, to reach out, to join a life group, to get on a ministry team, to rebuild broken relationships, to reconnect. This is the spiritual work of the church. This is the spiritual work, and it is the absolute antidote to the loneliness that's crippling the world. It's crippling the world. This is the spiritual organizer. So we all get a choice. Do we want to attend church, or do we want to be a dwelling place for God's presence? This picture came to my mind when I was studying for the sermon. You've in the South, you know, we have ants everywhere. But you ever see when you kick over an ant hill and all the ants come out, you know, and they all grab like a little pebble of dirt or grain of sand or whatever, and they start rebuilding that ant hill? Can you imagine what the church of Jesus Christ would be like if we were all Holy Spirit-filled ants that each went and grabbed, hello, connect and care and reach out and follow up and put those little stones in place and build that anthill? Can you imagine the presence of God would become so thick among us you wouldn't hardly be able to stand? Can you imagine what it would be like if we went after it like that? Man, it would be amazing. So what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? I want to ask you to stand. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Man, we're going to have a great time in this series. We're going to have a great time this month, this fall. How many of you want to kick things off God's way? You know what I mean? You say, look, the world is crashing and burning. It's time for us to unleash. It's time for us to allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. It's time for us to get into full alignment with the Holy Spirit. How many of you are ready for that? There's Shar right there. Shar, come up here. The worship team's going to lead us. I talked about you a minute ago. I don't know if you know that. You heard about it? You're in the back. Okay. I appreciate you. And I appreciate your story. And I appreciate what God's done in your life. And I appreciate that you walked it honestly. You've been open-hearted. I appreciate you sharing your gift with our church. We're better because of you. 100%. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to wreck you. You helped to make us a temple. And it's not just because you can sing. That's not it. You're so much more than your voice. You're so much more than your voice. You're so much more than your talent. And so as I was praying this morning, I just felt the Lord said to me to just speak this over you for such a time as this. I don't know what that means, for such a time as this. God has put you in this place, in this moment, for such a time as this. Can you lead?